going to be doing something new this week. Instead of having the scripture printed in the bulletin, we're going to look it up in our Bibles. If you do not have your Bible with you, there are Bibles on the backs of the pews that you're welcome to use. And I will be still reading it out loud. The rest of the announcements are pretty much the normal ones. We've got sign-up sheets to volunteer to assist in our safety plan to let people in after the service starts. Bring food donations, bring plastic bags, and then clothes and other items for our various homeless projects. Let us proceed with our affirmation of faith. It's on the inside of the bulletin. We who are gathered as Bethany Christian Church confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and proclaim Him Lord and Savior. We believe the mission of Bethany Christian Church is to worship God by gathering weekly around the Lord's name and committing ourselves to the Christian unity, to seek to know God and to make God known through studying and teaching of Scriptures, and to create a loving faith community that ignites and cares for all of God's people. And our call to worship this morning is from Psalms 107, 19 through 21. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress.
He sent out His word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave.
Let them all give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind.
Bulletin, we've got several that we've had on our prayer list. that we want to continue to remember. Are there any updates on these that we have on our list? Anybody have any to share?
Is that not sitting?
Yes.
It was next on the bulletin.
Special music?
Oh. Well, I guess I got more tradition in me than I want to admit. You've got to just kind of have to do the same thing over and over. Well, come on up here and do that, and then y'all be thinking about updates to the prayer list.
This good thing.
Make sure we didn't miss out.
Good morning, everybody.
Yeah.
I'm very glad to be here today, and I'm glad y'all are here. Firm believer in more the merrier. It's good to see everybody, and I consider y'all my extended family. And it means a lot to be here. There's a song I want to do today that God gave me yesterday. He brought it to mind. Haven't sang it since I was real young. And my family sang it around the piano growing up. Every holiday, it was one of their traditional songs. And I don't know if y'all know it or not, but if you do, join me in singing it with me. And y'all, I hope you recognize it.
Now, I heard most of what you said, but I didn't hear who you said the first one was.
Her name is Donna Hale, and she's my friend of 58 years.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me write that down. Okay. And you said your mother?
My mother, Joanne Long.
Last name again.
Long, L-O-N-G.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
I have an update on Paisley.
Okay.
Of course, Ellie Grace got to go home. Paisley was doing well enough that her parents were able to actually hold her. So that's a big praise. She's still in NICU, but she's making incredible progress.
Right. That was an awful lot on that. Those parents having the one sick and then that as well.
Yes. So
we continue to lift them up in our prayers. Anyone else? All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you thanking you for this time we can worship and give you praise. Our purpose for being here is to lift up your name and to give you glory. It's not for us, it's for what we do for you. So we do come, though, thanking you, Lord, that you told us we can bring all of our cares to you. And we just lift up Donna and Joanne and the needs that they have in this hour. We pray for comfort, for strength, and for peace through all the struggles. And we also lift up those others that we've looked over on our list. We know that you know every need, and we're thankful that we can put them in your care. Thank you that you invited us, Lord, to come to you in prayer without going through anyone else. You even taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Worship hymn this morning is number 64. This morning. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew, Bethesda, having five porticoes. And these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in, was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk." Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. So the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not permissible for you to carry your pallet." But he answered them, "He who made me well was the one who said to me, 'Pick up your pallet and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Pick up your pallet and walk'?" But the man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, that was where we need to stop. It's in the middle of a paragraph for me. Okay. Our hymn of communion this morning is 398. So much for allowing us to come into your house to worship you and to partake of the Lord's Supper. We ask that you help us to remain focused on the emblems that you have provided to remind us of the sacrifice that was made by your Son Jesus because of our sinful nature. We thank you so much that it is through him that we can be healed and have eternal life. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Jesus took the cup. Actually, he took the bread and he said to his disciples, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Let us partake together." In like manner, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. As often as you partake of this, you do this in remembrance of me." Let us remember and partake together. And together, thanks be to Christ for the bread of life and the cup of salvation. I have an old radio at home. It's not a little bitty pocket transistor radio. It's one that stands this tall. It's about that wide. I paid $4 for it at a yard sale that my neighbor was having when I was a kid. It is like, I think she felt sorry for me that I didn't have any more than that. Said, "You can have it." So anyhow, we got it over to my house, Louisville, Kentucky. And I was so fascinated because that AM radio would pull in the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that AM tube type radio, you know, you put those tubes in it. And over the years, it's quit working. And you can't actually get the parts that you need to make it work. So I could say it's broken, but it still is valuable to me. Not that it will function the way that it did, but it still has some value even though it's broken. And I want you to think about when we are broken, we still have value to Christ. He still wants us. He still wants to hold on to us. Several years ago, actually here in Nashville, the newspaper wanted folks to send in names of folks, I would assume with their permission, of folks who were broken, who had a story. Then they would follow up. So it's something like, if you know people who are broken, send us their names. Well, one insightful pastor, he sent them the Nashville telephone book. Because the truth of the matter, who has not been broken? Who has not been through some stuff? Who has not faced challenges? You know, we've all been broken. Maybe in different ways at different times, but we've all got some story of a broken heart. Now, how do you love a broken person? You know, we do some things to reach out to folks who are broken. And I think it's great, you know, just doing some things to try to help the homeless. How do you love a broken person? You know, some people say, well, God helps those who help themselves. Some people think that's in the Bible. I hope y'all didn't think that's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. You know, some people say, well, the Bible says God helps those who help themselves. Well, show me where that is. You know, now there's some things that might say a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. There's a scripture like that, but that's not talking about those who can't help themselves, because in reality, God helps those who can't help themselves. And we all fall into that at some point in our life. Maybe we go through something and we feel like we're that broken person. So in John chapter 5, in these verses that Marcia read, That's what we're looking at. We're looking at a man who was broken by his circumstance. Now, as I go through this message, I'm kind of going to mention something here, and I'm going to mention it later in another place. So I'm kind of hopscotching a little bit because this guy has been lame. Now he can hopscotch. I don't know. I just thought of that. But anyhow, I will be jumping around. And I imagine he was jumping around too. So first of all, I see that he was broken by his circumstances. The circumstance of his brokenness was that he was lame. And he wasn't just lame in that he injured a leg and it's time to go through the process of restoration. Wasn't that at all. We're talking 38 years, almost four decades, this guy was lame. And he was kind of an outcast because he couldn't take care of himself. So he depended on other people to help, which there wasn't a lot of help that he got. He was broken by his circumstances. Have you ever been through a circumstance that just left you broken? You know, broken by our circumstances. There was a pastor who was preaching a 10-week series on how to avoid mental breakdowns. And this isn't a joke. He didn't make it through the eighth one before he had a mental breakdown. You know, I mean, life hits us and we get broken. Matter of fact, the word broken has the context of how it's used here of rubbing against something, like two sticks rubbing together to make a fire. And we think of it in that context as a good thing, but life rubs us, and sometimes it hurts, and we go through the circumstances that leave us broken. But another thing, he was broken by people. He was there at the Pool of Bethesda because he had no other hope. Now, this Pool of Bethesda, and I want to be very careful with this particular point here. I want you to understand the Bible is authoritative. There is something, though, that if you're looking at the New International Version, you didn't see something that Marcia read that's in some of the other translations about the angel who was stirring the water. And when you go back to the original manuscripts, it's not there. And it's believed that a scribe had just kind of explained what they were thinking by lying there. Because, you know, you kind of get an idea of what the man was thinking when Jesus said, "Do you want to be healed?" And he said, "But there is no one who can get me into the water. And then if I would get there, somebody's gone ahead of me." That doesn't really sound like the way God would do it. All right, first one in gets a healing today. Kind of sounds like something you'd find on TV Preacher 101, you know. But it just doesn't seem like the way God would do it. So anyhow, just that as a background. But either way, he was broken by people. There was nobody there to help him. Now, how many people were there? Commentators say that it was about 300 people on a normal day. This is kind of like their tent city. It's kind of like they're there to fend for themselves. Now, as far as the stirring of the waters, I read that one explanation of that was that there were some subterranean springs, and it would do this gurgling from time to time. Then they'd like, "Oh, look, first one in gets the blessing." I don't know how that worked for them. But anyhow, we move on. The word Bethesda means house of mercy. But was there really any mercy there in that these people were left there by themselves? It kind of became a house of misery. And can you imagine 300 on a normal day, or up to 3,000 when it's a festival kind of thing going on, which this was a time of a festival. So hundreds of people that would be gathered there. Just imagine if there were hundreds of people outside on this acreage that were just in need. And this is called the House of Mercy. So he was broken by circumstance. He was broken by people. He was broken by time. 38 years, almost 4 decades that he had been lame. That's a long time. You know, when you think about it, that's like your whole, almost your working career. Sometimes people will say, well, time heals all wounds. Not necessarily so. Time didn't heal his wound. He was feeling hopeless. He was feeling depressed. He was feeling like there was nobody that could help him. He'd given up on hope. He had just accepted this is the way life is going to be. And there are probably a lot of people who are helpless and hopeless. And they kind of just figured this is the way life is going to be. I think we're all shocked when we hear something like with Robin Williams a few years ago. Very talented, funny guy who had pain that nobody evidently knew about. At least we didn't know about it. And he took his life because there were wounds. And when a person does that, they feel helpless and they feel hopeless. So how does Jesus approach the broken? Well, he looked at this man, and in verse 6, it tells us that he observed him compassionately. And what about us? If we see people who are broken, do we observe them compassionately? Now, when I pastored a church in Mount Juliet about 30 years ago, there was a Sunday night service back when we did things like that. And we had a Sunday night service, and there was 2 guys who walked in barefoot. One in cut-off shorts. They were not clean. They might have been a little bit high, but they came in, and I just watched to see, after I talked to them, how others responded to them. And it was wonderful. You know, they didn't come at them with judgment, and they didn't come snubbing their nose at them. You know, we can do that in the church sometimes. I'm not saying here we do that, but I'm just saying in the church, we can snub our nose at people and we can say, well, they certainly could have dressed better than that before they came into our church. You know, sometimes people might say that. But really? You know, I've heard it. Well, I think everybody should dress up because we ought to give our best to the Lord. What if that's the best they got? And see, we can get to where we're focused on so many things that just don't matter. Jesus observed this man compassionately. No embarrassment. It wasn't an inconvenience. And I find it fascinating that he observed him out of all the hundreds of people that was there. Like, why did he see that one? But we find that he did. There was 2 little boys who were talking one day. One of them said, I sure hope I don't ever have to wear glasses. Well, you live long enough, you will, you know. But anyhow, the other one says, well, I don't think it'd be so bad. Well, why is that? Says, well, if it was my grandma's glasses, that'd be pretty good. Said, your grandma's glasses? He said, yeah. She sees when people have a need. She sees when they are hurt. She sees when they have trouble. He says, really? Said, yeah, I asked Grandma one time. I said, how do you see all that? She said, it's just the way I look at things. The other boy said, well, I guess it'd be all right to have a pair of glasses like that. May the Lord give us that prescription that we can see people who are wounded and burdened and look at them compassionately. Now, he interacted honestly with that guy. He says to him, do you want to be healed? What kind of question is that? Actually, I've never really used that question exactly. Like, you know, would you pray for me? Do you want to be healed? I have learned, though, that sometimes people are very specific what they want you to pray. And working in a hospice, you know, I ask them, what do you want me to pray? If they say, I want you to pray that I'll be healed, I'll pray for them to be healed. If they say, I want you to pray that I'll be comforted, okay, I'll pray for that. I want you to pray that my family would be okay when I go, and I'll pray for that. See, what do you want me to pray? And Jesus says to him, do you want to be healed? Now, there's a lot of ramifications to him being healed. This guy has been doing what he's doing for 38 years. That doesn't mean he was 38 years old. That just means he was lame for 38 years. He could have been 20 years old when he became lame. That would mean he could be close to 60 years old, and then all of a sudden he gets healed. What happens? There's some ramifications to that. Like, hello, you are now healthy enough to go to work, and to work some, not an 8-hour job, but to work hard for just a small penance. So when Jesus asked the question, do you want to be healed? I don't think it was a question that lacked compassion. I think he wanted to hear, what do you want me to do? There would be a new responsibility. And then a third thing. He expected adversity. So when Jesus healed this guy, the Pharisees, they cracked me up. They're so religious. They're so stuck on their tradition. And it's like, this guy has been lying around for 38 years. And all they can say is, hey, you who've been lame for 38 years, you're not allowed to carry your pallet. It's like, you can't see the forest for the trees. They didn't ask with sincerity, like, how can you do this? Who healed you? They ask, who did this? Who told you that you could get your pallet and walk? That's funny. He didn't even know it was Jesus. Says that he didn't know. He says, I don't know, but the guy who told me to get up and walk told me to do this, and I'm doing it. They were upset because it broke their law, not the law of God. sometimes there will be adversity when something changes. You know, thinking about that, about do you want to be healed? There's a little different slant on that. When I was the chaplain at a prison, there was a 70-year-old guy there, and he told me, he says, I'm going to probably get released in 6 months. I said, well, I bet you're excited about that. He said, no, chaplain, I'm not really excited about it. I thought this was going to be my retirement program. See, we don't know what's going to happen to somebody who's been dealing with this for 38 years. The challenges that they would face. Brokenness. We've all been broken. Maybe it was sickness. Maybe somebody listening, whether here or on the recording, will be dealing with the sickness, brokenness. Maybe it's some scars in the past. Maybe a broken marriage that you didn't want it to end that way. Maybe it's some other loss. Maybe it's some struggles within the family. A broken relationship. We all experience brokenness. There was an American artist who noted that when the Japanese would take something broken or cracked, that they would seal the cracks with gold, because they would say that when it was broken, it becomes more valuable because it has history. Wow. I like that. So if we are broken and Jesus touches us, we become so much more valuable. Not more valuable than each other, but we become so much more valuable because He has touched us. And we have history. And one thing we know that the Lord does want from us, He cares and rejoices for those who have a broken and contrite heart. So that means even if you've wandered away from Him, even if there was a time that you just found yourself at a place where you were so broken, you didn't understand where is God, you didn't know that He was right there still with you, and you come back to Him. You don't have to be hoping that He's going to forgive, that He's going to restore. It's His promise. You just grab hold of it. It's a done deal. This morning, welcome to the broken church. We are all broken. We are all broken in different ways. And guess what? They may not know it, but the churches up the road are broken too. The one thing I love, I heard this pastor say one time, he said, if you're looking for a perfect church, don't come join us, because then it won't be perfect anymore. There are no perfect ones. There's only a perfect Savior. This morning, no matter what you've been through, no matter where you've been, you can come to Him. And we're going to sing that hymn of invitation, number 544. If you have a decision to make to accept Christ as your Savior, now is the time. If you want to unite with us in fellowship publicly, officially, and all that stuff, now is the time. And if you have a prayer need, and come forward. I love that we can say, come forward now, and we can get with each other, and we can pray for you, and we will. So come now, as we stand, as we sing, no, not one.
Y'all know who's missing? You know where they're at. Maybe you hadn't checked on them lately. But everybody, if you just kind of reach out and grab somebody's hand and say, please come. We could use you at our church. We'd love to have you. You know, I remember those days. As a young person, a lot more than I do now, of hearing people invite others to come, strangers to come. Please come. We'd love to have you. Now that this pandemic's over, we have no excuse. Because I love our pastor and I love the musicians. We are so blessed to have such great musicians here. And they just come out of woodwork, you know. They're everywhere around and it's so wonderful. Even on the last minute, they just wing it. And I tell you, I'm grateful that they do that, and I appreciate both of y'all today. And so I said before, if you know the song, join in. And I want you to join in on this one, because everybody knows this one. We'll start with the chorus.
Excited that all of you are here, and we want you to come back. Now, we love our little church, but we want it to be a little bigger, so you all have to keep coming. But we welcome you this morning. If you like to get on our email list, those who came with Bill, make sure he gets your email address. You can pass it on to me, or you can write it on a little card that we have in the pews. So we'd love to add you to the list. With that, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll have our time of dismissal. We thank you, Lord, that we've been able to be here to worship you. We're thankful that we know that you are the compassionate healer, that you are the one who takes those who are broken, and you refashion us. And you just breathe new life into us for your glory. So we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your care. And if there's anyone who's going through something that's so heavy today, may they just know that your hand is outstretched to them to help. And we're there for them too. So we pray your blessing now as we leave this place in Christ's name. Amen.